Oh, sorry. Hey, it is so good to be together today. Welcome to Christ Community Chapel. My name's Todd. I'm one of our pastors here. Particularly, I serve in the area of marriage and family ministry. And every once in a while, I get a chance to open God's Word with you. And it is honestly a huge privilege. Listen, I'm really excited because today we launch a new series. We've been in the same one all summer, but now it's a new one. It's called Thy Kingdom Come Here. And many of you know our theme for the whole year is Thy Kingdom Come. So we've been working towards challenging everyone to see what it would look like for God to come in His kingdom to work in and through you in this place at this time. And so many great things have happened because we've given kingdom assignments where you've gone out and served in local ministries and you've had a chance to multiply the kingdom and so many great things. But I think sometimes it's true that some of the most obvious places in our lives can be the last places that we actually let the kingdom of Jesus to come in and through. And so this series is going to be 4 weeks. It's called Thy Kingdom Come Here. Because we want us to go back and focus on some of the most obvious, clearest, closest places in our lives that the kingdom needs to come, and it can impact everything. And so, the 4 weeks are these four places. We're going to talk about the kingdom coming to your home, the church right here, work, and neighborhood. So home, church, work, and neighborhood. Our goal is for it to be really practical as well. So today is home. And at the very heart of a home, typically, is a marriage. So this is actually Marriage Ministry Weekend. Our whole sermon will be focused around marriage. But I want to start by saying this. Marriage isn't everything. Marriage isn't everything. So what I mean by that is that my goal for today is to not make someone who's not married feel as though the goal in life is for you to be married, and if you're not, that somehow you're missing a huge piece, because Paul actually says that you can have a better impact for Christ if you are not married. So it's not bad to be not married. However, the reality is marriage is really important to God. And the very first two human beings to be ever created were a husband and wife, were a married couple. And the marriage runs like a theme from the beginning of Scripture all the way to the end, where we eventually will be with Jesus forever in something called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage is important to God, and it also reflects Christ's relationship with us. So today we're going to be talking about marriage, but even if you're not married, because it's a reflection of Christ's relationship with us, there are principles here that you can apply to your relationship with Jesus no matter who you are. All right, so that's what we're doing. I've been on staff here at this church for about 13 years, and 12 of those years I've been serving in student ministries, so middle school and high school ministry. And I have always had a passion for the next generation. And when I switched over and now I'm doing marriage and family ministry, I didn't lose my passion for the next generation. I just thought I could impact it in a different way. Because as I was going through student ministries, there was one thing that was the difference maker in students' lives that trumped everything else. And it wasn't the school that they went to, and it wasn't the friends that they had, it wasn't even their awesome youth pastor that was in their lives, all right? It wasn't any of those things. What was the biggest difference maker was what was going on inside the home. And at the very center of that is a marriage. And so this is Marriage Ministry Weekend, and what I believe to be true is that if we are going to be a church that survives and thrives for generations to come, we will be the kind of church that allows the kingdom of God to be unleashed inside of our homes and in our marriages. That's going to be the way that we pass the church to the next generation. And so, this is Marriage Ministry Weekend. Now, because it's Marriage Ministry Weekend, I need to introduce you to my lovely bride. Her name is Jillian. It's just through photos because she's not in this service. She's in the next service. But that is my wife, Jillian. We've been married for 11 years. And I have to tell you this about Jillian. She is an introvert. She's a little bit more low profile. So some of you know her, but not a lot of people know her because of that. But I want to tell you this. If you like me to any degree, and you don't have to like me, but if you do, you need to go up to her and thank her. Because I feel like I would not even be close to the person that I am without her. And I mean that, all right? Cue the sappy romantic music, all right? Listen, she is filled with a lot of wisdom, and people don't see that all the time, but I'll never forget what she asked me one day because it's made an impact on me. We were in the midst of a really difficult season of life because we had just had our third child, and we were in, you know, three kids and a little less than 4 years, and life was, you know, just madness. We were kind of steeped in diapers and timeouts and, you know, scraping food off of stuff, and we were so exhausted. Every time we would get together, it wouldn't be good. Like, we just wouldn't connect, and even sometimes we would get at each other. And I'll never forget, in that season, one day she stopped and she looked at me and she asked me this: are we on the same team? Are we on the same team? And I knew that the answer was supposed to be yes to that, but I realized that if you were the outside looking in, you would have probably thought it was more like two people who were arch rivals, not two people that were on the same team rowing in the same direction. And that really hit me like a ton of bricks. It was a profound question. The Bible says this in Mark 3:25, and if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And so my question for you, if you're a married couple this morning, is, are you on the same team? And don't answer that too quickly. Don't nudge. Don't give a look. But do you feel like you're on the same team? And here's a better question, I think. Are you on a winning marital team? Are you on a winning team? Because I have to tell you, you know, if I think last season the Browns all probably knew they were on the same team, but I don't think they had much to celebrate, okay? So are you, and by the way, this year, this is our year, undefeated preseason champs. All right, are you on a winning team? And so here's what I want to do today. I want to give you what I think are three keys. There's a lot more than three, but three keys to being a winning, well-oiled marital team, all right? And here are the three. First one is hard work. Second one is the right fuel. And the third is one goal. Hard work, the right fuel, one goal, okay? So first is hard work. And we're going to be in we're going to jump around to Scripture, but in Ecclesiastes 4, we're going to spend a little time in there and a little time in 1 Peter 3. 4 verse 9 says this, and I read this to people at their weddings. It says, two are better than one because they have good reward for their toil. Another translation says they have good return for their labor. And I read this at weddings because when it's applied to marriage, it is a beautiful thing that literally two can be better than one. But it's not just if you put two people in a room, they're better than one. It's two people are better than one because they have good return for their labor. There is work involved if two are going to legitimately be better than one. And so that is true of our marriage. There is a book called Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller. And it is one of my favorite books on marriage. It's a great one. And we have it in our bookstore. If you haven't read it, you should read it. Maybe read it with your spouse. But here's what Tim Keller says in the very beginning of the book. He says, you know, every time I meet with a couple that's struggling, they look at me and say pretty much the same thing. And they're saying, love shouldn't be this hard. It should come naturally. Love shouldn't be this hard. And that's true, right? Well, a lot of us have thought that on our wedding days, on our wedding day, everything seemed great. But then reality sets in and we go, love shouldn't be this difficult. What Keller says is the reason it is because no two people are perfectly compatible. And the reason that is because every marriage has an issue. And that's that the two people coming together are two people who bring flaws and sin into that marriage. And marriage doesn't hide the sin, it actually exposes it even more. It enhances the sin. You know your spouse's sin more than anyone else. And so, love doesn't come naturally because of this thing called sin. And honestly, it's a recipe for disaster if we don't put the work in, if we don't understand that love actually takes work. Now, here's one of the things that I've learned in my short, just 11 years of marriage and from marriage ministry. Having a great marriage is much more than about doing really big things every once in a while for your spouse. It is way more about doing a lot of little things over a long period of time that lead to a great marriage. And it works the opposite way as well, doesn't it? When a marriage goes bad, when somebody comes in my office and a marriage is going bad, what happens is I can always trace it back to months or years earlier where someone or both started making little decisions that over a long period of time that have led them to this catastrophic decision that could possibly end their marriage. It's always little decisions. Now, I was in Colorado last fall and was with a friend of mine at a conference. We got to go to this place in the mountains where there was this beautiful waterfall. And the only catch is that you had to climb up the stairs to get to this platform to see the beauty of this waterfall. And there were 224 steps to get up there. And we kind of looked at each other like, okay, I mean, we can do this. But then we were almost about to climb the stairs, and we found out that in the mountain they had actually built in an elevator. So we were like, well, that sounds kind of good. So I confess to you that we went into the elevator, pushed the button, took us up in about 60 seconds to the top of this platform. We walked out and saw the beauty of this waterfall right in the heart of Colorado. It was wonderful. And I have to tell you, marriage doesn't work that way. Never in a marriage can you just do one big thing or just push a button and catapult yourself to marital greatness. It is way more about 224 little steps that you have to take over a long period of time to get to marital greatness, to see the beauty of what a marriage can really be. So my question for you today as a married couple is, what little decisions are you making to lead your marriage toward greatness or away from greatness? What decisions are you making? Because it's a lot of little ones that matter. Now, there is a class that we're starting next week called Couples Boot Camp. It's for any couples, any age. And what we're trying to do is help you know what work you need to put into your marriage. Because all of us need to work on it, always. We can never put it in cruise control. And so it's an 8-week class that has four 2-week segments. And the segments are communication, intimacy, money, and conflict resolution. Okay, those are the four classes. So you can sign up for one, any of them, or all of them. And you can do it online even today. And I think it'll be a great step for you to know what kind of work you need to put into your marriage. All right? So hard work is definitely a part of it. I think a lot of us believe the lie that we can just get married and then put it on cruise control. That's not the way it goes. Second is that it's not only hard work, but you need the right fuel. You need the right fuel. And I'll explain what I mean in a second. But if our marriages are supposed to be a reflection of Christ's relationship with the church, then we have to know something specific about the way that Christ loved us. Here's what I want to tell you. Christ loved us the way that we desperately needed to be loved, not the way that seemed easiest to him at the time. And so he's in the Garden of Eden, okay, the day before he dies on the cross, and he is praying to the Father, and he's praying, Lord, if it be your will, would you take this cup from me? Basically, what Jesus is saying in his humanity is, if it's possible, is there any other way for us to do this, God? Not my will, but yours. And of course, he ends up going to the cross because it was the only way he could love us to the point of saving us. That was the only way it could happen. So Jesus loved us the way that we desperately needed to be loved, not the way that was easiest for him at the time in his humanity. And I think it's the same way with us. So you could put all the hard work in, and I see this in couples all the time. They come into my office and they make their case for all, this is all the hard work that I have done for this marriage, and it's still struggling. It might be because you are loving your spouse the way that you want to love your spouse, not the way that your spouse needs to be loved. That's the way Jesus did it. And this is what it says in Philippians 2. This is how we should be with our marriages. It says in Philippians 2, 3 to 5, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So if we're really looking out for the interests of our spouse, then we're going to love them like they need to be loved, not how we want to love them. So the question then is, how does your spouse need to be loved? They need to be loved with the right fuel. And here's what I mean. I am proposing today that husbands and wives are like cars. They take two different kinds of fuel. One takes unleaded, one takes diesel, right? Have you ever tried to put diesel fuel into an unleaded car? Anybody? I don't think it works very well. When I researched it, because I never did it myself, but it might run for a little bit, but then at least it's not going to run forever, and it's going to mess up your engine, and your car will not run on all cylinders if you put the wrong kind of fuel in it. You could put as much diesel fuel inside of an unleaded car as you possibly want, and it's still not going to make a difference in that car because it needs the right fuel. It's the same with our marriages. If you're looking out for the best interest of your wife, just like Jesus has done for us, or your husband, like Jesus has done for us, then you are going to give her or him the right fuel. So you're going to love the way that they need to be loved, not the way you want to be loved, not the way you want to love them. So I could talk about love languages here, and that's a great thing, but instead, for the sake of time, I want to talk about one primary way that a wife needs to receive love, needs to be fueled, and one primary way that a husband needs to receive love. This is right out of Scripture. I'm not making it up. So first, the wife. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says this, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. All right, so it says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way because they are the weaker vessel. Now, that is insulting to many women because they look and go, weaker, come on, that is like so mean. Well, that's not what this means. What this is saying is it's a weaker vessel. A vessel is something that holds liquid. So if you're a weaker vessel, it doesn't mean you're weak. It means that you are more fragile of a vessel. And it speaks to how you were designed to receive love. That a wife is more like this fine piece of china, this little wine glass. And when you have a wine glass and you're holding it, maybe at a party or whatever, you don't just like, you know, some of you are really nervous right now. You don't just do that. You hold it carefully. You hold it like the proper way, whatever. And you're very careful because you need to treasure. You need to treasure your wife. You need to, the Bible says, nourish, cherish her. And as husbands, we need to lead, but we don't lead in a dominating, domineering way. We lead in a sensitive, loving, come on along, I'm leading you like this, sensitive way. And that's the way that a wife was designed to be loved. So if a wife is running on all cylinders, she feels beautiful, treasured, nourished, and cared for, and protected. And when she is, she's running on all cylinders. And husbands, you want your wife to be running on all cylinders, right? So that's the wife. Now, oh, and by the way, that means that husbands, we've got, when she comes to you and she's like, I've got a problem, and she explains the problem to you. And what that means is that you need to listen carefully, hold carefully. You don't fix the problem right away, right? I've made this mistake so many times. You listen, you say, I get it, I understand, that must be hard. And then a year or two or three later, maybe you can possibly help her fix her problem. It's the way a wife is wired. Next, the husband. The husband's not off the hook. If a wife is a vessel that is more like a wine glass, and this is the husband. or at least he thinks he is, right? Now, here's the deal. For a husband, it doesn't matter. This thing's durable. You know, like you can drop it on the ground, but a husband wants to go, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. He wants to be respected. He wants you to look at him and go, you are a big, important deal. That's how a husband was actually designed to be loved. That's how he receives love, and it's true from Scripture. Listen to verse 1 of chapter 3 in 1 Peter. It says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Now, there's a lot in that passage, but what I want to point out is that it says, be subject to your own husbands. That doesn't mean that as a wife, this works like there's a kingdom and the husband is the king and you are a royal subject. Don't read into that like that at all. What this is speaking to is how a husband was designed to receive love, to be fueled by love. And he was designed to feel love as in the form of respect and feeling important. So wives, if all you do is go around and tell your husband, this is what we should be doing, this is what we should be, and you're just like trying to just constantly tell him what to do, what you're doing is putting the wrong fuel in him. He doesn't receive love that way. And so many times this happens. A wife tries to lead her husband to lead, but he can't lead because you're leading him to lead. He doesn't want you to do that. He just wants to be able to lead. And so that is how a husband was designed. So for me, my wife, when I come home from a long day, and ministry can be demanding, so sometimes like a really long day, she might even have reason to be upset, and she could come to me and she could say, man, where have you been? I've been struggling, this is terrible. But when she instead says to the kids, when I come home after a long day, daddy's been working really hard for us. You know what that makes me feel like? Bam. And I'm like, kids, there's more where that came from. That's the way that a husband was designed to be loved. And so it's not a matter of who's better, who's stronger. It's a matter of how you were designed. And when you fill up with the right fuel, when you fill each other up with the right fuel, you are operating as a marriage that is running on all cylinders. Right? If you want to unpack this more, we're actually doing this event. You need to mark your calendars for October 1st. It's October 1st, we're actually having this event called This Is Us. It's a marriage event that's going to focus on the concept I just talked about, but in a much deeper, greater way, and with much smarter people. So Pastor Joe and Karen, and then Pastor Joe's brother Brian and his wife are going to come, and they're going to share that night. It's a great date night. And so invite some friends. You can bring another couple. Because if someone wants to work on their marriage, even if they're not believers or they don't go to church, they'll come to something to work on their marriage. So invite somebody, okay? All right, so hard work, the right fuel. The last thing, and I think the most important thing, is that you have to have one goal as a married couple. If you want to be not only on the same team, but on a winning marital team, you need to have one goal. And what happens is you could be doing all the hard work, you could be using the right fuel, but the truth of the matter is that we all mess up. All of us have days where we need to be reminded of these things, even if we know them. And so I would like to suggest that the most important thing for your marriage to be a winning marriage is to have somebody else on your team. I think the most important relationship in your marriage is not the one with your spouse. The most important relationship in your marriage is the one with Jesus. And as you pursue Jesus and understand and grasp his sacrificial love for you, you will understand how to love your wife, how to love your husband. You need a source outside of yourself that can give you the power to be an unbreakable marriage. And there is a beautiful picture in Scripture of this that I want to share with you. It's actually found back in the same passage in Ecclesiastes 4. And it says at the very end of verse 12, it says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Another translation says a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And I love this. First of all, this passage is not all about marriage. It's about relationships and community in general. But what I love about this verse is that it is a beautiful illustration of what a marriage should be like and the way God has designed it to be. And it's so beautiful that I want to try to visualize it for you. So I had our friends from Door Number 2, our arts ministry, make some art. Okay, so this is what essentially there's three people that need to be involved in your marriage. There's the husband, there's the wife, and then there's Jesus, and they represent three ropes, three cords. And if any two of these cords are wrapped around each other and are working together, it is not nearly as strong as all three of them. Any two combination is not as strong as a triple braided cord. And so if you're a husband and a wife and maybe you don't know Christ, Christ is not a part of your life at all, you need to come to know him. But maybe you're a husband and wife who you each know Christ, you're serving him, you're doing things for him, but it's very separate and you've not yet really put Christ at the center of your actual marriage. What you need to know is that Jesus is asking the same question to you today that my wife asked a number of years ago. Are we on the same team? Because by putting him at the very center of your marriage, you make something that is unbreakable, not just because it's three, but because the third one is the God of the universe. And if you understand his love, then you understand how to love your spouse. And as you pursue Jesus more and more, your marriage begins to look like this. It says a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And as the two of you as a married couple come together and are on the same team and then together begin to pursue Christ, there is this tightening of the knot that happens in this strength that becomes unbreakable, not because you're doing the work and because you're using the right fuel, but because you're trusting your marriage to Jesus. And only through the gospel, I believe, can you have the marriage that God has designed you to have. And when you have a marriage like this, here's the coolest thing. You end up having one goal. So your marriage no longer becomes just about living happily ever after or just trying to love each other the best you can. Your marriage ends up not becoming about you anymore. It actually becomes about impacting the kingdom through your marriage. And so you have one goal and one mission, and that's that your marriage would bring glory to God and impact his kingdom in your home and everywhere. And I guarantee you, we're living in a time right now where just by having a marriage like this, you will do incredible things for Jesus. You've got to be on the same team, and you've got to include Jesus on your team because he can make it unbreakable. Now, as you leave today, I wanted to give you something that can help you remember this. So I've got these fridge magnets, and this is a window cling you can put on your mirror at home. It says hashtag same team. And you can take these, the ushers are going to have them on your way out, and put them somewhere where you will remember that you are on the same team, the two of you, and then also Christ at the center of that team, all right? And you know, don't get the window cling, and like if you have two mirrors in your bathroom, don't put it like on your spouse's mirror. It's kind of like a, don't do that. Put it somewhere where you can remind, if you need to take two, that's all good, all right? But remember this, that the two of you together with Jesus make something that can be unbreakable. I truly believe that sometimes the most obvious places in our lives are the last places for the kingdom to come. Don't let your home be one of them. If we're going to be a church that survives and thrives in the next generation, we have to be a church that has allowed, that each marriage has allowed God's kingdom to come in and through it. And I think we can impact generations to come. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Father God, we love you and we thank you for giving us Jesus, because without him, we wouldn't know how to love our spouses. And Lord, we confess today that we have probably messed up more times than we can even count in our marriages. But Father, help us to put the work in. Lord, I pray that if there are marriages in here today that need to be healed, that you'd heal them. That if there are marriages that just need to be built today, that you would build them. If there are marriages that need to prepare today, that you'd prepare them. And Father, may we look to the gospel for all the strength we need to have the marriage that you've designed us to have. Use our marriages for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.